morning, I'm going to speak on a topic that we're going to so-called the church embark on. We have done some aspect of this last year. This year, we're going to continue the same. And so, if you have the Bible, please turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8, and then later on, we go to Ezekiel, chapter 22, verse 30. So the first passage is taken from Romans chapter 8, please, verse 26 to verse 28. Book of Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to verse 28. Are you there? All right, Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession, all right, the word intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Here it says intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So take note of that particular phrase. And then verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And then the next scripture we'll read is Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30. Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30. Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30. Here it says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. All right, so that's the scripture for the sermon today, and let us pray. Father, we come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to know this aspect of prayer called intercession. And so I pray that you will cause, Lord, us to have increased understanding of this topic and to be sensitive when you are calling us to intercede for someone, Lord. So we ask, Lord, that you will open our eyes, may see and understand, Lord, what you have to say regarding this topic, that we may, Lord, when we are invited, that we may just step in and avail ourselves as the intercessor. So I ask that you anoint my lips to speak with clarity what is in your heart, and Lord, that you remove every hindrances so that the people will be attentive to what you have to say, and that they will be so anoint their ears to hear and their hearts to receive your precious word, and whatever, Lord, that you have ordained for them may be accomplished in their life. So we commit this session to you, Lord. It's all about Jesus. Holy Spirit, come to glorify the Father and the Son in Jesus' most precious name. And God's people say, Amen. Now, last year in 2018, as a church, we were seeking the Lord some of the things that He wanted us to do in view of the various difficulties that we are facing, or we were facing. And the Lord then spoke to a board member that we should embark on a prayer and fasting for the church. And then I actually have a what I call my inner witness. I can identify that with that particular statement. And so I sense that that word was from the Lord. And so after that particular board meeting, last year, we actually went into a seven-day prayer and fasting for the week in March 2018. And then it was then followed by a regular corporate prayer meeting for us to fast and pray on every first Wednesday of the month. And then church members, of course, were also encouraged to join in the prayer and fasting, of course, within the capacity that they can handle. I know people at a various stage of their spiritual life, there is no what we call forcing, or there's no pressure put on you. There is no obligation. It is within your capacity that you can handle. And so, though we are heartened to see some of the breakthrough in our church last year, this will not slacken, but we'll continue to pray and fast, to carry on this practice to pray and fast for this year 2019. And we are also going to face some challenges ahead of us for 2019. And Jesus taught us in Luke chapter 18 that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And so when you pray and fast, you get certain results, you get certain breakthrough, and then there are certain hindrances that come along your way again. So you do not give up, you should not lose heart, you must continue to pray and fast. And so this year we're going to continue this practice of fasting and prayer, and we have scheduled, can I have the click for the PowerPoint? Yes. And we have scheduled a 7-day prayer and fasting starting the month of April. One click, please. Thank you. It's not coming up. Yep. So this year, we're going to continue, thanks, the call and practice to have a 7-day fasting and prayer starting on the 1st to the 7th of April, Monday to Sunday. And then, of course, for pastors and board members, we're going to do in the 7 days, 6 days partial fast, and then 1 day full fast. I want to qualify, this is the minimum. That means for 6 days, abstain from yourself from one meal, and then also on the Wednesday itself, which we normally have our corporate prayer meeting in the evening, we're going to do a full fast. That means abstain meal for 3 days. And then during that particular period, we're going to not only fast, we're going to pray. Fast and pray. That's the meaning. Otherwise, if you just fast and you don't pray, it becomes a diet session. And then for leaders, minimum is 7 days partial fast. I am aware that you, most of you are working, or some of you are working, and perhaps you're not ready for that, what you call the full fast, so partial fast will do. Now, for board members, I want to stress is minimum. If you want to do, instead of 1 day full fast, you want to do 2 days or 3 days during that week, it's also fine. All right? And then for members, want to qualify, is optional. Don't we encourage you to fast? You can do whatever with that is within your capacity. You think you can handle one partial fast 1 day, you abstain one meal or two meal, that is fast. Or you don't have to do it 2 days for that week, is fast. But this day, this week, we actually consecrate it as a week to do fasting and prayer. And so for those who have medical stuff, because of certain medical condition, you cannot do fasting, we understand. So if you're not sure, check with your doctor. And then on top of that, we're going to continue with the monthly fast, one full day of fast for the first Wednesday of the month. So that will continue until the time, sometime in November, just like last year. So it's going to be a practice that we're going to do. Now, yes.
The clarification of that Wednesday, the 1 day to fast, you say 3 days. But actually it's 3 meals.
Did I say 3 days?
Yes. So just to clarify.
All right. The full day fast is actually abstain from 3 meals. I'm not saying 3 days. Apology if I say that. All right, so there are at least 3 reasons why we need to continue to do this for 2019 and beyond. All right, first thing is we need to fast and pray until we get a complete breakthrough. And certain things that you're kind of praying for breakthrough, you're not getting it, and you pray and fast, perhaps you only get partial breakthrough. And so my advice is we will pray and fast until we get a complete breakthrough, whatever, all right, you have in mind. And then the second reason why we need to continue this prayer and fasting is because as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, prayer and fasting must be part of our lifestyle. Now, the sermon that Jesus preached in Matthew chapter 7, he says that, you know, one of the requirements of a disciple is it must be a lifestyle. As a Christian, you need to have this practice and this discipline of praying and fasting as your part of your life. And then the third reason is if you if you open your ears and you are kind of aware of what is happening in the different churches of the world, there is a strong prophetic word that is coming from the Lord to some of the prophets, to the churches that is worldwide, that we need to pray and fast. That is because in the days before Jesus' second coming, the evil one will intensify the attack on the churches. And so fasting and prayer will prepare the churches to overcome the ferocious forces of darkness so that the church can secure what we call the final and the biggest soul harvest before his second coming. Now, the enemy may come in like a flood, but the God is going to raise up a standard against him. And so this standard is going to be prayer and fasting. So before I go further, let me kind of remind you or recap some of the key points that I talked about prayer and fasting mentioned last year. Now, first thing is important to kind of remind ourselves what is the definition of fasting, though you think it is obvious. Now, so the definition I'm giving is this. Fasting is actually a temporary abstinence of food. Now, food, nothing wrong with food, it is something good. Now, we abstain from food in order what? In order to express our hunger for someone far greater, God and his work in our life. And so when we talk about prayer and fasting, I don't want you to get away with the idea if food is no good, and therefore, you know, you have a wrong concept. Right? So it's something good, but we are abstaining it temporarily. For a period, we want to express our hunger for something far greater, and that is God and his work through us. Okay, so that's important to have a clear understanding what prayer and fasting is all about. Now, the next thing is, what happens when we pray and fast? Now, when you pray and fast, second point we recap is, it brings our flesh under subjection. Now, God designed our body as spirit, soul, and body. And when you become carnal, what happens is your soul or your body is a boss of the whole being. But when you pray and fast, you actually bring the flesh under subjection. That means in the design, God designed us to work this way. The spirit supposed to be the boss of this tripartite being, and then followed by the soul and followed by the flesh. And so when you pray and fast, you are bringing that into divine order. The flesh is under subjection. The soul is under subjection of your spirit man. The second reason is what happens when we pray and fast, we remove the resistance and clog to our spiritual senses. And you know, we have certain hindrances to our spiritual senses. And when we pray and fast, you are actually removing all those things. And thirdly, because you have removed those things, more of God's power and anointing can flow through your life. And so now you have a basic understanding why we pray and fast. Now, when you pray and fast, there must be an objective. What are you praying and fasting for? Right, important. You to receive a breakthrough in whatever issues that you are facing. And sometimes you're seeking the Lord for divine direction. And so you pray and fast for divine guidance. And perhaps sometimes you want to have victory over certain habits in your life. So you pray and fast. You're seeking the Lord for breakthrough perhaps in your relationship issue, the problem, job issue, health issue, or finance issue that you may be facing. And also, as you know, in the many testimony that we hear and also testimony in the Bible, and after a church, a family, or individual pray and fast for a period of time, it produces very powerful breakthrough and results. They see a change. Some of it very suddenly, and some of it maybe after a short period of time. Now, what have not worked before, suddenly it did. And some undeniable, desirable situation was there before, and then suddenly it disappeared. And then perhaps there's some relationship issue, you got restored, and then it became a loving relationship again. A very stubborn issue can actually was turned around and resolved. And so fasting and prayer actually break that yoke of bondage and bring about a release of God's presence and power and provision. And if you do not fully get the full breakthrough that you need, my counsel is fast and pray until you get the breakthrough in that particular area. And so this year, it is my desire that some of us will avail ourselves not only to pray and fast, but to go one step further. To avail yourself, you know, for intercession. And so today, as I said, prayer and fasting is a very powerful thing, but once you avail yourself and you can go into intercession, the power of fasting and intercession will bring us, in terms of the spiritual power and might, one notch higher. And so for today, that is why I entitled my sermon, Fasting and Intercession. Now, there are two generic types of prayer. One is normally what we do, supplication and petition. That is the first type of prayer that we have. So, that is what we call the general prayer request that we have. And in this type of prayer, it is actually a humble request, asking God to do certain things, asking for a favor. And these needs are mainly for yourself most of the time. And sometimes, of course, you pray for other people. But most of the time is your personal prayer request. And then in this type of prayer, you do not actually understand, fully know what the will of God with regards to what you have asked. You ask this for A, B, C. Perhaps God's will is not A, B, C, but, you know, X, Y, Z. So we don't know the will. But anyhow, you ask. All right. So that is a general supplication and petition. I'm not going to go into the too much details between the two, but I just generally classify it as type 1 prayer. Type 2 prayer is intercession. Now, intercession is different in 3 aspects. First, it is always the prayer for the need of others. All right, that is number 1 difference. You always pray for the need of others, whether it is for your fellow brother and sister, for a family member, or for your church, or for the city. It's another person, another entity. And then secondly, it comes out when, out of a burden that is conceived by the Holy Spirit. You know, God puts that burden in your heart. There is a burden, and that is a call for intercessions. And so you need to be responsive to that particular request. And then thirdly, you know that it is born out of the will of God. That's why that scripture that we read, you know that that particular burden is, that particular prayer request is actually God's will. God wants it to be accomplished in that way. And so to better understand what intercession means, what is intercession, let us now go into that word, intercession. Now, intercession actually comprises the two components. First is inter. The meaning of inter means in between. And then the next part of the word is called session, means to go. So the meaning means to go in between. Now, when you translate that into actual practice, it means taking up the role of a mediator. That means you are working out the reconciliation between two parties. Now, in this picture that I've shown you, you are actually the intercessor. You go in between two parties as a mediator, working out reconciliation between the person and God. And so there are two parties. Perhaps this person, you know, is backslided, and progressively he's going to kind of go off track in his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as an intercessor, you stay in, you go in between and you intercede on behalf of him. Ask God to bring him back into the right relationship with God. And so the first aspect is a mediator between God and the person. And then the second aspect is what I call a gap stander. All right, in this particular picture here. The first aspect of a gap stander is between the person and God. All right, here perhaps this person, perhaps he has done lots of evil things, went into idolatry, so on and so forth. And then perhaps God is about to discipline or what I call judge this particular person. And so you go in between, between him and God, you intercede and plead on this person, God's mercy. Ask for a turn around and to avert this particular judgment. So you are the gap stander. Alright, and then the next perhaps scenario is this particular scenario. You go in between, not between the person and the God, and but perhaps the first person and the devil, and God brings you attention that there is some evil scheme devised by the enemy, and the evil wants to destroy this person in one way or another, bring harm to this person. And so you stand in the gap and you're going to wage spiritual warfare, and you put on the full armor of God, and you're going to what we call fight against the enemy of the soul and to avert this particular harm that's going to come from the enemy. And so these are the various scenario aspect of intercessor. And as I say, the main difference being an intercessor is you have a burden within you, burden in your heart that is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, in my last sermon 2 weeks ago, I talked about a call for watchmen. Now, the main task of a watchman is to actually give warning. And when you see or sense certain thing that is not wrong, is wrong in the person's life or something that is coming, and then you give warning. Now, however, if a watchman avail himself or herself as an intercessor, now his or her prayer will become more powerful. And so when God gives a warning through a particular watchman, he also looks for an intercessor kind of to provide the solution to the problem. So no point giving a warning, but you need solution. How do you resolve this issue? And so God next look for an intercessor. Now, so for example, in the history of Israel, one period they went into idolatry and God wanted to judge Israel. And he was looking for an intercessor to stand in the gap to avert judgment, but he found none. That is why we read the particular verse, Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. It says, I sought a man, that means I'm looking for a man among them who would make war and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. And so we begin to say, if God can find an intercessor to intercede for Israel and for the land, he will not destroy it. But unfortunately, he found no one. He found none. And therefore, God's judgment came upon that nation. And so my desire is that God will raise up more watchmen and intercessor in our midst. And so when we go into this prayer and fasting, there are times that the spirit of intercession comes upon that person, and sometimes you don't know, you are not aware. So that's my purpose of my session, to actually bring you an awareness of what intercession is and to be sensitive. So because God is looking, always looking for intercessor everywhere. God is looking for people in Zion Fellowship to fast and to intercede, whether it's for your family members, for your brothers and sisters, or to fast and intercede for your church and your city. And so we need to learn to be sensitive to the call and to respond accordingly. And so intercession is not just an intensified prayer session, and there are actually five key elements of intercession. And so to better equip you as an intercessor, it is essential that I go through with you so that you have an understanding of the five basic principle of intercession. And so here it goes, the five principle of intercession, or the five I of intercession. The first thing is you need information. So I, information. And then of course with that information, God is about to impart his burden upon you. Now as an intercessor, you are first going to get to know someone or something through some set natural means. You know, aware of what's happening. And the news may be a bad news about someone in deep trouble, and you are called to intercede. And so naturally you come to know about the situation. Now, so if not by natural means, God may give you a supernatural insight to the situation or to the person involved. And so God led the intercessor to see how bad the situation is, the danger that this person is facing, and how serious the consequences can be if the situation do not change. And so this supernatural insight can be given to the person, to intercessor, through a vision. Perhaps you see a vision of something. All right, that's one aspect. Or through an impression. You have this impression or a hunch, what they call. You know, you just sense that this person, something is going to happen to him or her, a hunch. And then suddenly there will be this supernatural, what they call, impartation of this emotional burden upon the intercessor. That is the spirit of intercession comes upon you. And the intercessor needs to be sensitive to these nudges and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Now, generally, women are more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And God created men and women differently. By and large, generally, of course, there are exceptions. Women's main sensor is of the heart. They like to feel. And they feel more than they think. If you, for those people who are married, you know, sometimes your wife say you feel something, you feel, you know, this or that. I don't feel it, you know. I told her, I don't feel it, you know. Why is it that you're feeling? That's because men, the main sensor is they think. They logic, you know, they reason more than they feel. So that's the difference in the makeup of men and women. And that's why you see how many women are actually intercessors. There are more women intercessors than men, generally. And because they are more sensitive to the emotional prompting of the Holy Spirit. Now, though women are more sensitive spiritually, they can also mistaken the voice of the evil spirit to be that of the Holy Spirit if they do not come under the covering. All right, it's very important. You need to come under proper covering. And that is a note of caution for women. So you do not be so gung-ho and think that because I'm sensitive, you know, you can be rebellious and then you just, a person of your own and rebellious and do whatever you want, and you're not under the proper covering, then you can be very easily deceived by the Spirit. So very important. So the first step of intercession is getting to know this information, getting to have an insight of the situation, the natural through natural or supernatural means of someone who require intercession. And so then we come to stage two, which is identification. Now, the intercessor must be able to identify and empathize with the one he is praying for, he or she is praying for. So, for example, if you are the intercessor, you are praying for John. Let's say you are praying for John. And so the question that to ask is, which side are you on? Good, you are praying for John. You say, I'm on God's side. That is good. But John also needs lots of help. He needs someone who can identify with him, who can empathize with him. If you are not on his side, he does not need you to pray as his intercessor. And in other words, John is not looking for a one-sided attorney. He needs a mediator, a two-sided attorney. And this example, of course, is perfectly seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ represents God because he is God. He came from heaven. And yet he represents men. Why? Because God became man. Jesus Christ became man, put on humanity. And he went through all things that we went through. And so he is a two-sided attorney. He is the perfect mediator. And Jesus actually can feel how God feels in that situation. At the same time, he can also fully feel the temptation that the man go through. So he is a two-sided attorney. Alright. And so Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15, that's why I say, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all point tempted as we are, and yet without sin. And so he understands the situation that you're going through, whatever temptation that you're going through as a man. And so, because by taking on the human nature, Jesus actually can fully experience and understand all the different facets of temptation we encounter. And therefore, Jesus is the perfect intercessor. Now, the other perfect intercessor is the second person of the Godhead, that is the Holy Spirit, because he dwells in every believer. And the Holy Spirit is therefore looking for a human vessel, an intercessor, to express the feeling and the mind of God regarding that matter, as well as to let the human intercessor to identify with the person involved, being prayed for, in terms of his experience and feeling. And so, perhaps good to give you a couple of examples of intercessor in the Bible. The first good example is Moses. When Moses was young, he forsook the riches and the high life of the palace to identify with the Israelite, his slave brethren, and that decision he took. And then he lived with them, he led the people out of captivity, and he traveled with them in the wilderness. And so he could identify with them. And when the Israelite kept murmuring in the Exodus journey, there was one point in time that God was very, very angry. And God said, to paraphrase in Exodus 32. He says, stand aside, Moses. He said, I'm going to destroy these people. They were ungrateful people. I have enough of that continue murmuring no matter what I do for them. And then God said, he said, Moses, I'm going to wipe out these people. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to start with you from scratch. And Moses did not say, serve them right. Yes, Lord, please start with me. Instead, Moses identified with the people and pleaded with the Lord. He said, Lord, how can you do this? You brought the people out of Egypt. You worked miracles, signs and wonders. And you actually delivered them by the blood of the Lamb. And now you are going to destroy them. He said, what were the people say? What were the nations say? They say that you saved them only to kill and destroy them. He said, please, Lord, forgive their sin. And if not, he said, pray that blot out my name from the book of life. Such a great servant leader. He identified with the people. And so identification is an important component of intercession. Second example, Paul. In the New Testament, Paul was the intercessor for the Jews, for the scribes and the Pharisees who actually rejected Jesus. And he could fully identify with the scribes and Pharisees entrenched in Judaism and who failed to see that Jesus was the promised Messiah in the Old Testament. And that's why he told them, Philippians chapter 3, verse 5 to 7, he said, I'm also a Jew, circumcised on the eighth day, he says, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrew. He said, concerning the law, I'm a Pharisee. Concerning the zeal of the Pharisee, I say, I persecuted the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And so he followed the law very, very strictly, just like the scribes and Pharisees. But Paul, again, stood in the gap and interceded for them. He said, I wish that I could be accursed, from Christ, for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. That means he was willing, Lord, if you want to judge them, judge me, let me be cursed for their sake. And such is the heart of the intercessor because of identification. And so God is looking for intercessor who can understand and empathize with the person whom the intercessor is praying for. And therefore, as an intercessor, you don't start to talk down at the person. So please don't, as an intercessor, you don't give them a lecture. If you remember last sermon, Pastor N came. What parable is it? Anyone knows? Yes, parable of the lost coin. Now in that sermon that she preached last week, she said that, lost coin is like somebody who's lost in Jesus. And there's a lot of dirt on that particular coin. That's why they are lost. But he said, even though there are a lot of dirt in the coin, he said it does not lose its intrinsic value. So the person who is lost, who has backslided or who have, on the way to giving up the faith, you still, as an intercessor, you look beyond the dirt in their life. You begin to intercede for them. All right, so that's very, very important. And so the third aspect is you go into the phase three or stage three, intercession. And so once you come to know of the situation and the need of identification and empathy, you will naturally not become the condemner, you will not be the gossiper, nor the judge. You become the intercessor that God is looking for to stand in the gap. And God wants you to intercede, and then that emotional burden will be conceived inside you. It's here, right? It's not in here, but here. And so God is going to give you a prompting to intercede. And you're going to feel very uneasy inside because that emotional burden is stirring inside you. Now, it can even happen in the night when you are asleep, if it's that urgent. God will wake you up in that night. And then, all of a sudden, for no good reason, you cannot sleep. You try to go back to sleep, you can't sleep. Perhaps that is a stirring, that is a signal from the Lord for you to intercede. And so this emotional burden or agony, need to be released through intercession. So that is the grace and God has given you to intercede. And when you take the action to intercede, You are actually activating something in the spiritual realm to cause a turnaround in the situation for the better, for the person. And often when you intercede, you may even be lost for word. After perhaps saying one or two sentences, you are lost for word as to what to pray. And in that case, there are a couple of things that you can do. You can pray in the spirit. You can pray in the tongues. You know, that is when you do that. Or if you feel like crying, you feel like groaning, you can also do that. You can weep and you can groan like a birth pang. And so feel free when you are in that emotional state, feel free to weep and to groan for that person. So don't control your emotion. Don't control the agony. That is why Romans chapter 8, 26 is all about. He said, likewise, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit Himself make intercession for us with groaning. So the Holy Spirit inside has got this groaning prayer, intercession, which cannot be uttered. All you have to do is to release that groaning and weeping, and that is intercession. All right. And so as you pray, as the Holy Spirit leads you, until you sense that the release in your spirit or the burden is being lifted up. After that one session of intercession, then maybe God will give you a short relief for a period. And then after a couple of days later, this prompting and emotional burden may come back again. So what do? Same thing. You respond in the same manner. You pray and you intercede until you sense the release in your spirit or the burden is lifted off from you. And so after a few of this intercession prayer, in God's timing, you will begin to see a breakthrough in that person or the situation for good. Right, so important for you to recognize that. So stage number four, involvement. Now there are times of intercession that intercede for the people that you do not really know. Now in such a situation, of course, this step of involvement is not applicable. Perhaps God show you a vision of someone you don't know, you know, from somewhere, and then you intercede. Then you don't need to go into this involvement stage. But there are situations when the intercessor knows the person personally. And if this is the case, then after the intercessor has completed the intercession assignment, he or she can proceed to the next step of involvement. That means you go and minister to the person. Now, however, this is only done after to be done only after intercession has been completed. Because if not, offense may come in. If the intercessor jumps straight away from information or insight stage to involvement phase without going through intercession. And so when intercessor involves himself to do or say something before intercession has taken place, it may prematurely ruin the process of intercession. So involvement may require you to say or to do something. However, at times, involvement does not mean that you have to do something. Your involvement may simply be sitting around with the person and do nothing. Now, a simple illustration. There was a British missionary to China, and after a few years of mission work, she experienced a traumatic tragedy in the family. What happened is her four-year-old daughter was actually beheaded, and she went back to England. And so many of her church friends came and gave her a pet talk and a little sermon trying to console her. And they say these are dead until she actually felt like screaming. By contrast, shortly after, there was an elderly man. He came and he was called to actually intercede for her. And so after completing the intercession, this elderly man came to minister to the missionary lady. He came and sat with her and he did nothing much and just said very, very little. And this elderly man just came and says, identify with her, sat with her. And because she was a matured intercessor, he understood what intercession is all about. And so, and he knew that there's no need to have any pet talk or little sermon or preaching, you know, on this particular lady. And so before he left the house, he just said a simple prayer and gave a simple hug. And then the healing and the comfort of God just began to flow supernaturally from God to this lady. And so his involvement is very simple, a prayer and a hug. And this actually reminds us of the story of Job. You know, Job went through tremendous suffering. And then the people who came to minister to him gave him a lecture on theology. And on the hindsight, of course, the best way to minister to Job was actually to intercede for Job in the background. And then thereafter, just simply sit with him and identify with him. And so this is very important. And then, of course, the fifth step, the last step is inheritance, influence and authority. Now, as an intercessor faithfully carry out the different assignment of intercession, God will bestow some spiritual inheritance on the intercessor. And God will increase their scope and influence of authority. And so their intercession will become more and more effective, and grace and favor of God will actually increase in their life. And the new position of influence and grace will be gained in their life. And then, of course, they're given more grace to touch God's heart whenever they pray and move His hand. And so, the intercessor, all right, for those who are not aware, how does the intercessor start? Normally, you don't even know you're interceding. You just pray as an initial startup lesson. You pray for someone. You pray for your family member. As they grow in prayer, and then you begin to empathize with the person. And then suddenly, God has found an intercessor. And then the spirit of intercession come upon you and give you a burden and an agony inside. And then you begin to pray. And then you begin to grow, you know, in intercession. And when you do it more often, God will actually grow you into something bigger. And so it starts very, very simple. Alright, so I want to bring an awareness to you so that when you recognize it and when God calls you, you pick it up, and then that's where you grow from there in your intercession. Last story, example and story of intercession. Now this is a story of a mother who is both a watchman and also an intercessor. Because my last sermon was on a watchman. And so watchman, you first give warning, and then later on, God gave the grace for intercession. And so it's a story of a mother who is a watchman and also an intercessor. And it was a family of the parents with three children. What happened is they were all studying in the university, and then they were planning to drive 500 miles north for a student conference. And this was a winter time. And during the trip, before the trip rather, the mother felt something uneasy inside. There was a nudge of uneasiness for the children, and she know that they are going to face danger. And so she said, I should gather the boys together and say that I don't want you to drive in the same car. And then the children say, Mom, why don't you want us to drive in the same car? They say, well, you could be in an accident. I don't want three of you to be in the same car. I just have the spirit alerting me. I don't know why alerting me to warn you not to drive in the same car. And so the children actually went in a separate car, and then they drove to the particular conference. And then on a particular day, 3 p.m. on Sunday, that afternoon, the children were about to drive back, and the mother knew about it. And then the dad was actually taking a nap. And then suddenly, this mom actually again had this stirring in the heart, very intense stirring in the heart. And so she woke up the dad and said, please, we need to get on our knees and pray and intercede for our children. He said she had this burden in emotion. And so both of them knelt down and they prayed and they interceded for their children. And when the children finally got home, one of them rushed to the mom and told the mom, said, Mom, let me tell you what happened. While we were driving home, we actually hit a black ice and our car actually began to spin. And then we missed the truck by just a few feet. And we nearly got into a head-on collision, and we would all have been killed. But somehow, he said, the car went across the ditch on the other side, and the truck just missed them. And so the mother asked, what time was that? And it was exactly the moment when the parents were on their knee praying for their son. And so you see, when you're a spiritual watchman, when you become an intercessor, it is also a very powerful thing. And at times, an intercessor holds in his or her hand life and death in this particular incident. And so God has equipped the spiritual sensor for you you know, to some of you, the watchman, to know and to sense potential danger. At the same time, God will also give you a heart of intercession to pray. And so, God is looking for intercessor all the time. All the time. And the thing is, there are not enough candidates to be the intercessor. And so, in conclusion, God is looking for and calling Christian to join His better plan for the people, for the community around you, to join in intercessory prayer and fasting. And through fasting and intercession, you can take up an offensive weapon against the enemy. You can turn around the situation in your family, in your friends, for your church family, for your church, for your community, for your city, for even for the nation, for good. Nation. An example would be Daniel. Daniel prayed and he changed the course of history for the nation of Israel. And so this kind of fasting and prayer is the key to see breakthrough for your family members at your church and the community. And as you follow God's call, as you yield to that call, you rise up and you take up your place in that spiritual battle. God promised is you will heal your family, your church, your community and the city. Now today I'm speaking to two groups of people. Those who are already intercessor. Now you are still active and growing the Lord in intercession and given assignment of intercession to you. Good. Praise the Lord. Continue to do so. And God in His time will reward you with those inheritance. Now however, there may be some intercessor who have been diligent in the past, but you have slackened recently for certain reason. It may be due to neglect and other factor, and that's why the spirit of intercession has not come to you, because you have neglected this particular duty or this particular calling. And so that, to encourage you to get back again, and that the spirit of intercession will come to you, and God is calling back you back into this role and this calling again, because it is a high calling. It's intercession is a high calling of God. And when you grow in maturity in intercession, this high calling can surpass that of the prophet, an apostle, and a teacher or a pastor. I'm not kidding. It's a high calling. And this high calling is available to anyone. And you don't even have to be gifted. And sometimes you give excuses, oh, I'm not gifted, I cannot do this, I cannot do that. But you can pray. You can intercede. It's for everyone. It's just like love. You can love everyone. There are a lot of things that you can do. And so in the background, if you are intercessor and you grow in it, it becomes a very high calling. And so the second group of people I'm speaking to are those who are relatively new to this area. As I said, now intercession requires no special gifting. So there's no more excuse that I don't think I can be because I'm not spiritual, so on and so forth. I'm not gifted. God is not looking for a perfect prayer warrior. Not a perfect prayer warrior. He's just looking for a willing and obedient heart who is willing to stand in the gap when the situation arises. And God longs to bring His servant into a deep and a powerful relationship with Himself in outworking His will and fulfillment of His will. So all you have to do is just turn to the Lord in simple prayer like this. Father, say, we come to you in your presence and we ask you to give us a heart of intercession. And so just have to ask. Say, help us to learn and to recognize the leading of the Holy Spirit, which I'm, you know, helping you today to learn the prompting and why sometimes you get an emotional burden. You know, and don't, instead of getting depressed, go and on your knees and pray as an intercessor. That is the calling for you to intercede. And so recognize that. You know, that leading of the Holy Spirit. And when that emotional burden is given and you respond in intercession, something powerful happens. And therefore we say, thank you, Lord, for this powerful weapon of intercession, prayer and fasting. And if you combine it with prayer, fasting, it becomes very powerful. And so may we all learn to grow in this area of intercession as we mature in the Lord. Amen. Amen. I hope this session is helpful to you and it will help to, you know, God will help to recruit, it will help to see and select more intercessors in our midst. Praise the Lord. Amen. Can I get the